C1AP. Number 9A.
Well, what have we seen up to now of the whole story of Revelation? We have seen in chapter 1 that the Revelator begins to reveal the ever-operative calculus of being, of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And now he begins to elaborate on that fourfold calculus and shows that fourfold calculus from the point of view of the Word. That's chapter 1, and depicts that fourfold calculus from the Word order and shows first the demonstration that Jesus made fulfilling the 7 days of creation, then showing that these 7 days of creation are the same as the seven spirits, as the seven candlesticks. And that when he has seen the seven candlesticks, he could see that these 7 days of creation are actually not a time process, but that they are a law in being, that they are numerals of infinity. And so shows that if we understand those seven synonymous terms, the candlestick, that we can see the Son of Man walking in the seven candlesticks. That the Son of Man, man as the idea of God, is the sevenfold reflection of the seven synonymous terms. That was chapter 1. From there, he went on to show that fourfold calculus from the standpoint of the Christ. And he was showing the Christ order. And that was naturally the central point at that time, because it was the time of Jesus Christ, where Jesus fulfilled the Christ. So he showed in chapter 2 and 3 the seven messages to the churches in the Christ order. Then when he has shown that, he felt, now I've shown that Christ order, but now I must go and show how that Christ order is going to operate all through the coming centuries and thousand-year periods, in such a way that that Christ is not only bringing forth the Jesus aspect of the Christ, but also the science aspect of the Christ, Christian science. Therefore, he looks now forward, and he said, and the angel came to him, as with a strong voice, and said to him, come up hither, I will show you the things that must come to pass. And what the angel then showed him as that what will come to pass was to give him a first sense of the Christianity order, of showing the scientific metaphysics that has to come, and showed that in chapter 4 and 5, we have the first vision, and showed there through the Christianity order the divine metaphysics, the 1 and the 7 and the 4 and the 24, and then showed that that constitute a science, for the recapitulation, 24, but that at that time, really, that whole sense of scientific metaphysics was a closed book, and that it needs the Lamb that is slain in order to open it, that it needs really the Christ consciousness within us that alone is able to open up that book. As if he wanted to say, alone with your head you can't do it. From the Word standpoint, alone you can't do it. From the letter standpoint alone, you can't do it. You can study it and read it and study it and read it and memorize it, but it will not open the essence of that book. It's only actually your inner Christ consciousness that is able to open it up. So there was only the lamb slain that was able to open it. Now comes the second vision where the lamb opened up the seven seals and opened up those seven seals and showed how through the 1,000-year periods always one aspect of God's nature has come to the forefront. First the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-year period has come to the forefront, and then in the 6,000-year period, Mrs. Eddy comes in with just a side remark and says, that has to do with the present age as being 6,000 years since Adam. So watch out what that book shows you, because it has reference to the present age. Once those seven seals had been opened, then the Revelator goes further and shows the further vision of truth with the seven trumpets, and wants to show that if we have an understanding of the nature of God through the seven synonymous terms, that is going to do something, that is going to uncover what is the counterfeit of God, so that we know that the counterfeit of God has no might and no power, no substance, no identity, no governing power, no life, no truth, nor any sense of fulfillment within itself. And these were the seven trumpets. And we have seen this morning the seven trumpets, or yesterday and today, the seven trumpets, where again the Revelator was looking back to the first 5,000-year period, and they are presenting how mind was uncovering mortal mind, how spirit was uncovering the nothingness of matter, how soul was uncovering the joylessness and dissatisfaction of human thinking. Principle was uncovering the falseness of human and material systems, was uncovering the nothingness of death, the first and second death, and then we had the sixth trumpet, and that has taken us a long, long text. And in that sixth trumpet, we saw, so to say, two big things, or even three big things. Namely, first, that with the blowing of truth, it uncovers what? It uncovers really that the breastplate of sin, ignorance and sin is the cause of mortality, of sickness. That is that which destroys the third part of man. And therefore there must be a remedy for that. And that the 6,000-year period came and brought that remedy. And it brought the book open. And so we consider the 10th chapter of Revelation, which Mrs. Eddy interprets in the Apocalypse, and have seen what that book brings. That book really contains divine science. That it prefigures the advent of divine science, which would include absolute Christian science, namely that foot which was standing with the dominant power on the sea, that it will bring the left foot, the secondary power, standing on the earth and dealing with concrete error, with audible sin and visible error, and showing that if we imbibe that book and eat it up and make it our own, that would lead us into the Eldorado of Christian Science. That's still in the sixth trumpet. See, the sixth trumpet, the sixth trumpet takes 35 verses, and the other six trumpets, the first to the fifth and the seventh together, only take 24 verses. So you can see that the sixth trumpet alone in presentation and textual bigness overrules, so to say, the importance of the first five trumpets, because it was teaching to our present age. And that is what the Revelator wanted to show. He wanted in the first place to bring in the 6,000 year period and announce the 6,000 year period and hint afterwards to the 7,000 year period. All right, so with the advent of the book that is open, which contained divine signs, the Revelator then in chapter 11 has shown, as we have been considering this morning, the necessity of understanding that book. What Mrs. Eddy has interpreted, she said, yes, you have to understand that book, then you understand divine signs. The Revelator takes it up and shows that that book must not be approached through belief or through faith, but through understanding. And in order to show what he meant by understanding, he was saying that he was giving us a measuring rod with which we can measure if we have understanding or not. And he asked to measure the temple. And by measuring the temple, he could see that at that time the Gentiles, those who don't know, don't want to take being as a science, who refuse the scientific aspect of being, that the Gentiles were treading down the two witnesses in the streets and they were dead, that with the 3.5, with the metaphysical approach, with trying to have only an objective approach to God, we can demonstrate God only in a metaphysical way, not in a scientific way. That therefore the science itself, the idea of science itself, is dead, is still dead, in spite that the book was open. And only when the spirit of life of God entered into them, when we went over the 3.5, then the second 3.5 came into action and they rose up and they began to demonstrate that divine principle as life, truth and love. It is the change from the objective approach to the divinely subjective standpoint. It's no more approach, it's a standpoint. The divinely subjective standpoint. It is that most important point where every student is, so to say, at the crossroad and has to make up his mind, am I going on to believe in Christian Science? I'm going on to use a little bit metaphysics, the metaphysics of mind, spirit and soul, and take that a little bit as my standpoint, as my principle. Am I going still on trying to improve the human situation? I'm still going on to think that this is the purpose of the little book open, that that book should show me how to get better health, better business, better income, better family, better relationship, better world, a better government, and so on. Improving the human. Or is that book showing that there is a divine principle, that from the infinite one, from that throne of grace with the seven spirits around the throne, is coming an infinite idea, and that principle actually is only interested in demonstrating its idea, its purpose, its aim, and not people's aim and people's wishes. This is the big, big turning point in everybody's life at that point. So that the science of divine science is telling us, are you willing, like little Samuel, to say to God, I listen, speak, O Lord, and thy servant hears. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do what you tell me to do. I have no demands on God. I have no demands on life either. I'm nothing. The only thing that is that principle wants to live itself. That principle is life, and therefore determines what is true and right, truth. And therefore principle alone, and this is the main point, which always is our consolation, alone really knows how to bring us forward, how to guide us in the divine plane, and therefore find a never-ending fulfillment in love. So that principle is operating as life within us and lives me. I'm not living principle, principle lives me. That principle demonstrates me. I'm not going to demonstrate principle. Principle is truth, therefore principle demonstrates itself through truth. And I'm not going to prescribe to God what would be my future and what would be a sense of fulfillment, but I let principle define the plan for me, the plan for the whole idea, and what place within that plan I have to fulfill. And therefore you can see always one thing, that if it ever should sound or feel difficult or a great demand to make that changeover from the objective approach to the divinely subjective standpoint, because one feels I might lose everything with it. I might lose everything that was dear to me materially, mentally, psychologically, or in any way. You always have one great comforter, divine science. What does that comforter say? It says to us, you know, that principle alone is love. That principle alone knows the plan for you. That principle alone knows the highest ideal that should be reached. What is the best? We personally, humanly, are so restricted, so limited in our highest dreams that it does not amount, that it does not come near to what principle as love has in store for us. So every time really it feels or to be difficult to go through an experience where we just have to say, all right, I don't demand anything anymore. I don't beg anything anymore. All I want to see is that principle finds in me a transparent tool, that it can use me, that it can use me for principle's own purpose, no matter what it brings into my human and material life. Then, if that seems to be hard, if that seems to take away too much from us, there is always that comfort within us which says, but you know, that which principle wants to give you is a million times bigger than what you ever could dream of as a measure of good. And that brings always the comforter, the terrific comforter. Then one is willing to bend one's knee and say, oh, I should happily accept what principle has in store for me. So this is still the trumpet of truth, and only at this point then the revelator picks up the last trumpet of love, and in a few verses then also gives the seventh trumpet, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, what did they say in heaven? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Can you see what he says? Then he says, then you don't have to fear anything, because the kingdom of this world will then be the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. They will be the same. We are then no more living in a kingdom of the world separate from the kingdom of God. It will be the same. We will have the kingdom of God on earth. So we are not going to lose anything. This is the comforter that comes in. And he shall reign forever and ever. This will have an eternal enfoldment, an eternal promise. And among others then it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. So the whole heaven opens up, and the whole temple of God opens up. And there was seen in this temple the Ark of his Testament. That Ark of his Testament was always a symbol of at one month with God, of man's at one month with God. Then we see we are one with God. We are not a mortal or a human here and somewhere a God. But then we see that we have at one month with God. And so that seventh angel blowing the trumpet said, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. So that there is a time or a day of rest where things become a bit easier. And that's then when the 12th chapter in the Apocalypse and also in starts. So we take science and health and consider in science and health the 12th chapter of Revelation. Again, sometimes the quantity of text can give us a hint about the interpretation of a text. We have the chapter on the Apocalypse that has round about 21 pages, and out of those 21 pages, 13 pages, that is nearly 60% of it, is the interpretation of this 12th chapter of Revelation. So one can see that Mrs. Eddy felt this is really an important point. In here I want to bring out one or of the two or three main points of the chapter. It is also that chapter which Mrs. Eddy did interpret at first, namely in 1886. She interpreted only chapter 12 in the textbook. The City Four Square she didn't have in the chapter The Apocalypse. She had that as a separate chapter, as a supplement, called Wayside Hints. So actually this 12th chapter seems to be a very important chapter, and therefore we'll also take that chapter more or less sentence by sentence, and we'll consider in what we can find the great importance of it. What does Mrs. Eddy say about that 12th chapter herself? And she says, as I have cited before, the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse or Revelation of St. John has a special suggestiveness in connection with the 19th century. The 19th century was that century in which she discovered Christian Science. Whereas the whole 6,000-year period naturally covers the time with the 20th century. So she could see that in that age something happened that had relevance to the 12th chapter. She also says about that 12th chapter of the Apocalypse that it typifies the divine method of warfare in science. So let's remember this, that she feels that this 12th chapter shows a method, namely the method of how to deal with error. A warfare, but a warfare in science, and the glorious results from this warfare. And we can see, if we have an overall view of the chapter, that warfare was led by the woman against the dragon. So here, suddenly, a new symbol enters in, the woman. Then, what happens after the 12th chapter? There she says, in the Apocalypse, she says, the following chapters depict the fatal effects of trying to meet error with error. So she shows, after this true method and divine method of warfare, the Revelator then, not Mrs. Eddy, the Revelator then goes on with chapter 13 up to chapter 18 and shows something which Mrs. Eddy does not interpret at all, namely what method we can use if we do not accept the divine method of warfare. So she says, the narrative follows the order used in Genesis. In Genesis, first the true method of creation is set forth, and then the false. Here also the Revelator first exhibits the true warfare, and then the false warfare. And this will be most interesting for us to see what is the true warfare, the highest warfare in chapter 12, and then afterwards see what is a lower method of warfare when we come in Revelation to chapter 13 to 18. And sometimes we learn much more from a wrong method than we do from a right method, and therefore we will consider, though in a very quick way, that wrong method of warfare.